Thank you. Again, we come to you with studies in the book of Matthew, and I rejoice again in the privilege of discussing with you the Word of God. I am more and more convinced that what our generation needs is the Word of God. This is what God has given to us. And as we read the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, we see how the Lord Jesus himself wielded the sword in his opposition to the devil, the adversary. We've been discussing in the past few lessons the coming of our Lord to the earth as the Messiah, the King of Israel. The book of Matthew is answering the question, is this Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah, the King? And we found in chapter 1 that he proved his moral right to the throne. His legal right to the throne. When we came to chapter 2, we found the reception of the king. Magi worshipped him. The Jewish leaders ignored him. They were indifferent to him. And Herod sought to slay him. In chapter 3, we had the herald of the king, John the Baptist, who came into the wilderness preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And those who were real in their repentance were baptized of John. Then he turned round and he whipped, shall I say, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, demanding of them that they should be real in their testimony, real in their life, and that the Lord was going to come not only to baptize with the Holy Spirit, but he would also baptize with fire. Indeed, our Lord came the first time and made it possible for us believers to be baptized by the Spirit, joining us to him. But when he comes to the earth the second time, he's going to come in flaming fire. He's going to come as the judge of men, not as the savior of men. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But when he comes the next time, he's not going to come to be sacrificed on the cross as a sin offering. He's going to come as the king. He's going to come to rule and to reign. And he's going to come in flaming fire in judgment on those who despise him. And then we found at the end of chapter 3 where our Lord was baptized by John, where he officially ended his ministry as the Messiah, King of Israel. And of how God openly declared, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." No displeased the moment our Lord is officially recognized from heaven as the one who was the Son of God, as the one who came to be the king over Israel. He is immediately withstood by satanic forces. And I find that the devil withstands him in his claim to be the Messiah. I say again, his messiahship is immediately questioned, challenged. And in this threefold test of our Savior in chapter 4, if I may be allowed to repeat a few things, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were tested on the ground of the grace of God, the Word of God, and the person of God. Is the grace of God sufficient for me to meet my need? Is the Word of God to be trusted? Is God worthy of our worship? And you remember that Adam and Eve failed in this connection. Our Lord came from heaven as a man in the midst of men, and he is tested upon the same three grounds that Adam and Eve were tested on. It's the grace of God, the Word of God, the person of God. And in our last lesson, we were taking up the fact that our Lord was immediately challenged by Satan, "If you are the Son of God." As I said, the last verse of chapter 3 ends with the heavens declaring, "This is my beloved Son." If you're really the Son of God, then do some spectacular thing. Take these stones and make them bread. You're hungry? Feed the flesh. Make these stones bread. As I said a moment ago, do something spectacular. It's an amazing thing how this appeals to men and women today. We love the spectacular. We see something great happening. We're not content just to accept the precious Word of God. I know what I'm talking about, my friends. I see all around me people who have been led astray, looking for the spectacular, to have some feeling, Now, it's nice to have feelings. I recognize that we are emotional creatures. Every one of us have emotions to a more or less degree. But the foundation upon which we stand is the Word of God. And our Lord did not perform the miraculous. He just said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The kingdom of God is not materialistic, it is spiritual. And our Lord did not act independently of God. That's what Satan wanted him to do. But he manifested absolute dependence upon God. Now the second test of our Lord is in verses 5 to 7. And I read, then the devil taketh Jesus up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, if the first test was testing Jesus as a man, the second test was testing him to be the Messiah. The first test has to do with the grace of God. The second test has to do with the Word of God. Is it true? Now again, Satan wanted Jesus Christ to do a sensational thing. He wanted him to jump down from the top of the temple. Really what he was doing, he was offering Christ a shortcut to the kingdom. If you just obey me, why listen, Jesus, right down in the courtyard in Solomon's porch in the temple, here are thousands of religious Jews. Every one of them are looking for the coming of the Messiah. How will Messiah come? Well, Messiah is going to come in the clouds of heaven. This is what you have in the book of Daniel chapter 7. And if I may run ahead of myself, in the book of Matthew chapter 26, when the high priest said to Jesus, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Highest? Jesus said, you've answered right. And you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And you remember the high priest said, he's a blasphemer, away with him, crucify him. We don't need any witnesses, we've heard him ourselves. Say, he's going to come in the clouds of heaven. The only one who's going to come in the clouds of heaven is the Messiah. Now you see, the subtlety of Satan was, don't wait and go to the cross. Don't wait God's time. I'll offer you the kingdom now if you'll just obey me. Jump down from the pinnacle of the temple, and all these thousands of Jews in the courtyard will acclaim you as their Messiah. They will accept you as their king. You see the subtlety of it. Satan always wants a shortcut. There are no shortcuts to spirituality either, by the way, if I can may inject this here. There are no shortcuts. People say, if you had this experience, if you had that experience, my, what a Christian you would be. Listen, my friend, there are no shortcuts to spirituality. Satan offered Jesus Christ a shortcut to the kingdom, to the Messiahship. I say again, the people of Israel knew that when Messiah comes, he's going to come in the clouds of heaven. Now, just you jump down. Notice something else. Satan quoted the Word of God, but he left a little wee bit out. Now, he quoted from the 91st Psalm, the 11th verse. Now, allow me to quote or to read what Satan said, then allow me to quote what the psalmist says. For it is written, said Satan, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, what part did Satan leave out? The 91st Psalm says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He just left a little part of the Word of God out. Oh, how this is done over and over and over again today. For example, we hear people say, the Bible says we are all the children of God. Now, the Bible does say that. But why don't you finish the verse? To leave that little statement as it is, you would be a universalist, that everybody, doesn't matter who they are or what they are the children of God. The Bible says we're all the children of God. My friend, the Bible says this, we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Our Lord could say in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil. If God were your father, you'd believe me. But you are of your father, the devil. Now, Jesus said that. It's so easy to take a part of a verse or a part of Scripture and take it entirely out of its context or leave a part of the verse out, and the first thing you know, you're in trouble. My friend, Satan here attacked the Word of God. Can it be trusted? Can it be trusted? If you're really, again, he questions the person of our Savior, if you're really the Son of God, you know the Scripture says concerning you, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Messiah, you won't get hurt. For it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee. So the result is, Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And our Lord manifested absolute confidence in God. Now in the first one, he manifested absolute dependence upon God. In the second one, he manifested absolute confidence in God. I can well afford to wait my Father's time. When my Father wants to give me the kingdom, I'll have the kingdom. I can well afford to wait God's time. Do you know it's so difficult for Christians to wait God's time? It's awfully hard to wait, isn't it? We want God to do things right now. You and I get down to pray and we ask the Lord for things, and if it doesn't come right now, we say, well, I guess God didn't hear me, or God doesn't keep his word, or God doesn't want to give it to me, whatever it may be. We want God to move on our time according to our clock. No, my friend, God will always keep his word, and he's always on time, always on time. And he's always right in the thing that he does. And his Son, Jesus Christ, when he was tempted of the devil, manifested absolute confidence in God. Please notice, in the first one, if you're the Son of God, challenging his person, he says, perform a miracle. Turn these stones into bread. In the second test after the Messiah, the Word of God is before us, and he wanted Christ, if you're really the Son of God, do the sensational thing and you won't get hurt. And the Lord says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now we come to the third test, verses 8 to 10. And here our Savior is tested as to the person of God. For I read, the devil taketh Jesus up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now notice this time he did not say, if you're the Son of God. He just said, if I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world, if you'll just fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And just as our Lord faced Satan the first time with the word of God, likewise the second time he faced him with the word of God, and the third time. Now notice, God is the only one worthy of worship. But the question is God the only one worthy of worship? Here we see the ambition of Satan to be worshipped. By the way, may I suggest this? Satan has always aspired to be the object of worship. If you were to read the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, he could say, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will be like the Most High. And all the way down through the centuries, Satan has aspired to be worshipped by man. When you come to Revelation chapter 13, his desire is met. The whole world worships the beast. The whole world becomes demon, devil worshippers. This has always been the aspiration of Satan. He will try to force you by subtlety, by subterfuge, by any way he can to keep you from worshiping the living God, from worshiping the Son of God. Now mark the subtlety of it. He showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. You can have the kingdom now. You can have the world now. You can be the Messiah now in authority if you'll just worship me. If you worship God, then you'll have to wait for the kingdom. Again, I say another subtlety of Satan to try and detract Jesus from waiting God's time. And here you have our Savior manifesting absolute obedience to God. There's going to be no compromise, absolute devotion to his Father. I want you to mark this, my friend. Satan wants you to worship him. He wants you to worship man. He wants you to worship anything but God. Anyone except the Son of God, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. The Word of God, the grace of God, the person of God. Notice, please, if I may make this statement in closing up this portion of the Word. Jesus Christ manifested, first of all, absolute dependence upon God, the first one. And then he manifested absolute confidence in God, in the second one. And now he manifests absolute obedience to God. No compromise. No compromise. And the way of victory is by the Spirit of God, by the shield of faith, by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the method of victory, I have already mentioned, absolute dependence, confidence, obedience to God. Here is a life of devotion to his Father. Nothing will detract him from doing his Father's will. Nothing will detract him from his love and his devotion to his Father. How Satan would seek, my friend, to get you to be detracted from your devotion, your obedience, your confidence, your dependence upon the living God. How he wants you to trust yourself. He knows the moment you begin to trust yourself, you're going to fail God. Oh, may we take these three tests of our Savior and recognize what God wants you of you and me. Because today, you and I are tempted. Is the grace of God sufficient for your need? Can the Word of God be trusted? Is God, is the Lord Jesus Christ, worthy of all your worship? And will you not meet Satan? It is written, it is written, it is written. Again I say, saturate your mind with the Word of God. And start today, my friend, will you? And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.